Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, spiritual talk, healing done right, spiritual growth, 12-step indigo meditation, and much, much more. Hosted by...
Is it that time again? Is it really that time again? Wow, this has been a very long couple of weeks. I've gone through many changes, been in and out of the hospital. Lots of doctors telling me I need to change medications and stuff. A few weeks ago, I talked about being harassed on my job. And it seems that the powers that be, after I turned it over in a very special way, to my higher power and the angels and the ancestors and my creator, the individuals have been moved to a later shift. So they're no longer there when I'm working. When they come in, I'm gone. And so I've made peace with them energetically, and I assume that they've made peace with me. It's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience. I've been hanging out down in Middleburg at a beautiful, beautiful shop that I told you about. I did go to see a pulmonologist about this cough that's going on and how I get all froggy inside, and it seems that those 40 years of smoking have given me that COPD stuff. So they're looking into that, and I'm praying that it can be alleviated in some way so that I'm able to breathe better when I'm doing the show, and I'm able to do things in a way of speaking so I'm not sounding so hoarse and raspy when I'm on the air. Because I used to like the way I sounded over the phone. Now I've got this little foggy thing going on here, and I'm not happy about it. And I keep having to clear my throat. And you would think that I was still smoking, but I stopped smoking. Whoa, must have been about 14, 15, oh, I don't know, long time ago. But I smoked a whole lot longer in years than I was stopped. So it's wreaking havoc on my lungs now. And I'm trying to figure out how to manage getting up and down these 17 steps that I've moved up. And I'm finding out that it has nothing to do, really. Well, my weight compounds it. But it's really the COPD that's really got my lungs crazy. Now, people usually think that the reason why you have COPD is because you can't breathe in. I don't have a problem breathing in. What happened? Well, I do have a problem breathing in. But the major issue is that when you breathe in, you can't breathe in a lot of oxygen because what you breathe out is not totally out of your lungs because your lungs don't have that squeezing process to squeeze out all of the old air. So when you go to take in another breath, you're having a hard time getting that other breath to go all the way in because you've already got air, stagnant air, still sitting there. So we'll see. We'll see. Let's get down with Lena today. We're going to do a little bit of Lena Stevens. We're going to talk about our May energy report. And that's usually what I do while I'm waiting for the board to light up. And then we'll get into our topic because Lena's energy report has a lot to do with chaos and instability. But then I'm going to share you some words of wisdom that I found on the same website. These are words of wisdom from her husband. Her husband is Jose Stevens, and he talks a lot about soul development and how to clarify the different ages of the individual soul's response, and how when you move from being an infant soul in this physical body to a toddler soul, and what your responses are with each level as you mature as a soul energy. So first let's talk about Lena and what she wants to share with us. One of the things I did read in the astrological report is that we're going through a phase now in astrology that if we look back and if we can remember what we were doing between the years of 1998 and 2000, we will see that there's a similar process going on right now. Not necessarily in the same way, but if we can reflect back then on whatever it was that was making us feel good at that time, and we can sit back and not so much bring that actual happening into our lives, but sit back and try to reflect on that feeling that we had back then. I remember back then I had the feeling of being free. In 1998, I was like maybe two years into my sobriety. I had moved away from all the chaos and pandemonium in Newport, Rhode Island, and I was at a sense of peace, freedom, and I was happy. I had fun. I was just free. I didn't have all of those political issues pulling on me. I had decided to work at UPS, and it was what I would call, fondly referred to as, a no-brainer job. I didn't have to take it home with me at night when I left. When I finished, it was done. And when I went home, I mean, I was free. I even worked a full-time job at 7-Eleven back then. And I had a good time. I really, really enjoyed that job. I was on my feet from like 7 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I would run home and I would take a nap, get up, and then I go to UPS in the evening. And I just felt a sense of freedom. I could sit outside the 7-Eleven store and look up at the sky. It was just a beautiful time then. And so if I can reenact those emotions and that feeling into my life now during this chaos and instability and change that's going on, it would be easier to slide through it. So Lena says that it is a chaotic month requiring flexibility, adaptability, thinking outside the box, patience, and resetting our priorities. We all yearn for stability and perhaps even reminisce about old times when things were a lot simpler. Okay? But this is where we are now, and there is no going back. It's not going to get any easier, but we will get used to it and adapt to this new vibration that is part of our evolution. So as we evolve, we're like babies coming through the birth canal, and it's going to be a little bit challenging. It's going to be a little chaotic. But our stable structures are loosening and breaking apart, and new ones have not yet been solidified. It can be a very exciting and creative time if you don't succumb to fear and stubbornness. Now, we talked about fear in a number of the shows, and FEAR, F-E-A-R, is an acronym, and we can say F is false, E is evidence, A is appearing, R is real. Fear, false evidence appearing real. If your stability has been like, say, for instance, a job with a structure where you could project the future and suddenly the job is no longer, either because you quit the job or the job quit you, you find yourself in a place of instability. But the instability brings with it a variety of possibilities, and potential for creating opportunities that would not otherwise be there. In one of the shows that we did, we talked about the four people you meet in heaven. And there was a saying by the author of that particular book that all endings are beginnings. We just don't know it at the time. So instability is highly creative because nothing is set or solidified, and you can mold and inform what it is that you want to manifest in ways you can't when things are stable and well-defined. Of course, there is the element of that chaos as structures become unstable. This can lead to too many options and much mental obsession and confusion. We are being asked this month to become more comfortable with chaos and to learn to trust the greater order of things, even if we feel out of control. We must trust that everything happens for a reason. We know that. We've learned that. And we've heard that before. Nothing happens by chance. It happens for a reason. We just don't always know what the reason is until the time comes for us to know what the reason is. Some of the stable structures that are crumbling are the mental ones, our belief systems and how we hold our rational thoughts and how we process information is a structure that is becoming unstable as we go through this shift in consciousness. Okay? Think about the mind as a two-dimensional processor that is being rewired to think in multidimensional concepts. In order for this to happen, the mind needs to let go of the two-dimensional process, the linear thinking of the rational mind, and allow this multidimensional experience to imprint a new way of thinking. Okay? It is the realm of the higher intellectual center, and it gives us a new experience of truth. All right? So let's talk about that chaos factor a little bit deeper. If you decide to clean, yeah, I love, Lena gives this as an example. Excuse me. If you decide to clean out your closet or your refrigerator, and you want to sort through what you have before putting it back, you will have a temporary experience of the chaos of the pile, of all the things being sorted. You will need to decide what stays, what goes, and then how the remainder will be put back into some kind of order. We've all had that experience. We think we're going to clean something out, and the next thing you know, it looks worse than it did when we first decided to do it. So if you have organized your day around meeting someone for lunch, let's use that as an example, and that person cancels. You know, some of us would get bent out of shape and get upset, okay, because you suddenly have an opening in your schedule. And, you know, we need to understand that nothing happens by chance and that any vacancy that is a result of any change in your life introduces a possibility. And possibility is potential without structure and stability. And potential without structure and stability can be called chaos. Chaos in itself is never negative. It is what you do with it and how you navigate it that brings about either a positive or a negative result, all right? A positive result is ending up with a delightful experience of synchronicity and productivity that feels supportive and takes you in the right direction. A negative experience is the feeling of spinning your wheels, not getting anything done, and being yanked around by either yours or other people's obsessions and thoughts and emotions. In times like these, you have to be very careful not to let the chaos run you, but rather to harness the chaos as energy for your own intentions. In these unstable times, we are learning to deal with chaos. Now, chaos is feminine, creative, fertile, unpredictable, exciting, and it can be destructive. Instead of holding on to what feels comfortable, known, rational, and safe, seize the opportunity and work the instability and chaos to accelerate your own radical change. These are revolutionary times. What is your personal revolution? What is it? Think about it. Then go for it. We also have to understand that if we're going to do all of this, then we need to learn how to prioritize some stuff. The way we look at priorities is changing. We need to learn to prioritize from our hearts instead of our minds. You know, I mean, just because we think something, sometimes we have to take it to our heart and do a heart thing. Okay? The way the mind prioritizes is by rationalizing why we should be doing something instead of simply intuiting that it should be done. The challenge during times of instability is that we have too many choices, too many options, too much on our plate, and too many considerations to sort through. We don't know what to do first, what to end, what to start, what we can ignore, what is done, what is ours, what is not. So we revert back to what is known and where we feel safe and confident. But this is never a good permanent solution, you know? The only way to bring focus and stability into our lives now is to learn to prioritize from the heart. This requires trust and intuition, listening to yourself instead of others, and connecting in with your own desires. Making choices from the heart may disappoint others and even bring instability into someone else's life. But that is the challenge this month and the price you pay for resetting your priorities, and it will serve you in the long run. When there are too many options, choices, and possibilities to process through the mind, the only way to gain clarity is to turn to the heart and allow it to lead. A lot of times I may have a lot of stuff going on in my brain, and sometimes at night, if I have so many choices, I will write down all the choices, just write them down. And then what I will do is I will push my piece of paper or my book or my journal off to the side before I go to sleep, and I will say, okay, God, it's up to you. What do you want to let me know that I should do? And it's amazing, because you do that, you go to sleep because you've taken all of that drama out of your head, all that thinking, all of those choices out of your head. You put them on a piece of paper and you've turned them over to your creator. You've asked your creator to give you the best route to take. You go to sleep, close your eyes, and darned if when you wake up, the first thought that comes to your mind, that's your God thought. Or you may get up in the middle of the night, run to the bathroom, sit on the toilet, get up, want to go right back to sleep. But a thought crosses your mind, or it may seem like it's a dream. Grab that piece of paper and in the darkness of your room, just scribble what you think is there and then lay down and go back to sleep. Because if you lay down and go back to sleep, you'll lose that thought by the time you wake up, if it was meant for you to write it down then. So those are some of the things that, you know, you can do to get these priorities out of your head and put them in some semblance of order. Now, how is this month going to show up for you personally? This is the month of personal revolution. What needs to be revolutionized in your life? What kind of chaos can you be proactive about? What can be destabilized that feels stuck and needing change? What can you clean out, get rid of, and upgrade? Think about it, okay? Use the destructive side of chaos to dismantle a structure that is no longer that no longer serves you, and make room for something new and creative. The biggest challenge this month will be to keep some middle ground of neutrality amidst the chaos and to stay out of other people's drama. Now, you know, some of us find that very difficult to do. You know, we'll step in somebody else's drama in a heartbeat. Maybe it's to protect one of our children. Maybe it's to protect a friend. Maybe it's to, but we're going to have to stay out of it this month, because all that's going to do is make things worse for you. So even if it's someone close to you, just because they are having a hard time does not mean you have to be there with them and suffer along. You can send and do what you can, but you do not have to stand there and suffer along. The anchor and grounding will come from your connection to the earth and not your connection to others. Okay? With relationships will certainly go through hard times this month, as instability always affects them first. This is where the trust in the heart comes in. If you know intuitively to move towards or away from certain relationships, your task is to follow that intuition and intelligence of your heart. Old promises and commitments based on a mental understanding of responsibility may be up for review. Not all relationships will survive. Okay? If you are left hanging due to the choices of another, see it as a huge opportunity to reset some of your own priorities that will inform future relationships in a different way. So you will have to think about what did not work, what did, what could be better, what do you need, what are you done with, because you can be tired. If you are the one moving away, do so with compassion and confidence, but not guilt. A clean and sudden break is always better than a slow death, even though it may be shocking at first. It is better to be in full chaos for a little while than in sort of chaos for a long time. This is also a great month to complete karma with old relationships. Forgive the past, take risks in new relationships, and completely destabilize your life in the relationship arena if that is what it takes to move towards things, to move things forward. Okay, this is not a month to be stagnant, you know, just standing still. So get things moving in all relationships, all right? When we say chaos, some of the chaos that's going to be brought into this is going to be your own. You're going to be doing your own shaking up. You're going to shake up some stuff, but you have to do it with love. You have to do it with compassion. You have to do it with just, put yourself in another's shoes and do it with love. Do it from the heart. And a lot of times you can't change other people. You can only change you. And when you change you, boy, oh boy, other people change automatically. They don't know what to do. Your health, the big issue and challenges this month will be bones, teeth, skin, joints, brain activity, balance, and memory. Mental and emotional health will also be challenged as we deal with instability on all levels of the physical, mental, and emotional bodies. The task is to stay out of fear, remember, false evidence appearing real, and see that many of these symptoms are a result of unstable energy rather than an actual physiological condition. Okay, this is a good month to do a detox of some kind. I was thinking about that. I wish I could have some company and do one of those, a detox. It would be so great. My body would probably really love that. We are all receptacles of old energy that needs to be cleaned out once in a while. Detoxifying your mind by a fast from media and news, negative thoughts and judgments, and too much thinking. So we can do that for our mind. And I don't have a problem turning off my TV and not listening to what's going on. Okay? And if I am going to listen to what's going on, I like listening to the news that makes me laugh. And that's usually the comedy news, like The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. And I like listening to Last Week Tonight or something like that with John Oliver. And I like listening to Stephen Colbert. And I am very upset that our number 45 has called for Stephen Colbert to be investigated because Stephen Colbert, who is a comedian, said some pretty raw things about 45, and he wasn't happy about it. So now he wants Stephen Colbert fired. I mean, some people have the nerve. But those are the shows that I listen to because I hear the news, but I hear it from a comedic standpoint of view. I mean, it's serious news that I'm hearing, but I'm hearing it from a comedy standpoint, and so I can palate it a little bit easier than listening to, you know, breaking news, so on and so forth, this, that, and the other, 45, did X, Y, and Z, to the medical plan, blah, blah, you know, So we can detox our brains from the media, the news, negative thoughts and judgments, you know, and too much thinking. Detoxing our emotions by staying away from disturbing situations and toxic people. Fill yourself instead with emotional beauty of music and art. Detoxify your body through a fast of some kind and drink plenty of water. A detox will destabilize your system for a while, but give you an opportunity to restabilize it with a new and higher vibration and cleaner energy in all forms. All right? So, basically, that's Lena. She did go in and say some things about business and partnership projects. She gave an example for businesses when you're driving a car down a straight road with no traffic, it is easy to pay less attention. So she's saying anytime you have gotten too much too complacent with your business, and your partnerships and work, you know, you've fallen asleep, like almost behind the wheel. You got to pay attention now. So when you drive, it's like when you're driving a car down a straight road with no traffic, it's easy to pay less attention. Let your mind wander, be half asleep. Yeah, right. If the weather and traffic is unstable, you are likely to pay close attention and to be much more present. It is the same in these times. The more unstable, the more you pay attention. And she suggests that being proactive with change in business and partnership and project areas is of the essence. Okay, we already know that the weather is unstable, so we don't even have to go into all of that. All right? And last but not least with Lena, we're going to talk about what's going to be going on in the next couple of weeks. We have from the 8th to the 15th, you may feel overwhelmed with the chaos right now. If there is a way you can be excited about all the opportunities instead of wary and despairing, it would serve you better. Listen to your own heart rather than to others. that will be trying to tell you what to do, where to be, and what you need. Practice allowing the order to come to you rather than chasing it down the road. This is a good time frame to be more creative, eccentric, and to think a bit outside the box. If you do, new solutions to old problems could manifest out of thin air. It is important to be creative and use yourself and your personal environment during this time of frame as a canvas and container for creativity. May 10th, we're going to have a full moon. I love these full moons, but sometimes they create havoc on our whole energy system. You know, because we have 90 plus percent water. And so when the new moon that affects the tides in and out, you know, the oceans and stuff, don't think it doesn't affect the water that, you know, we're made of. So this full moon can bring out stress levels or celebration. So why don't we let's go for celebration? It would be better to have some fun than to allow yourself to get bogged down with responsibility, pressure, and chaos. Work with chaos creatively and be a little eccentric. A good day to do something new and out of the ordinary. So surprise yourself during the full moon. Do something for you. Give yourself a surprise. I mean, you know, go and buy yourself some flowers and a box of candy or something. You know, if you need to, go buy yourself your own Mother's Day present. You know, and don't be depressed because you weren't remembered the way you thought you should be remembered. Just go do something for you. I think Mother's Day is when, the 14th? Yeah, just go have fun. So, here you go. I'm going to drink some water. And I'm going to get into Jose. He's going to talk about the souls. He says it can be helpful to understand the typical responses to change that are demonstrated by the people of different soul stages. Now, that should be interesting. Lena talked about chaos and instability and change creating havoc. Now, Jose, who is her hubby, he's going to talk about how different souls respond to change. And let me get some water here so we can do this right. Okay. Now, who is Jose? Jose is Lena's husband, number one, and he's a shaman. A lot of people might say, well, what the heck is a shaman? Well, when you think Native American, think medicine man or teacher or healer. A shaman can also be described as a person who interacts in both the normal world and the world of spirit, sort of an intermediary between the two worlds, okay? Shamans. All right. Jose says the infant souls respond to change. And while you're listening, you can figure out what age your soul is, okay? It's really fascinating. And how you're reacting to stuff from a soul level. You know, how old is your soul? The infant soul's response to change, intense fear, resulting in paralyzing or complete autistic withdrawal. Here you might see an isolated tribal person faced with a move to a big city simply curl up in a corner and die. Violent, panicky resistance is also a typical response, as is savage, overwhelming attack totally out of proportion to the situation. For example, an infant soul threatened with having to evacuate their home due to a fire or flooding might fend off authorities with guns and try to kill them. Many infant souls are responding to this time of stress by engaging in violent terrorist attacks or simply senseless massacres in schools, nightclubs, and public arenas. They usually destroy themselves in the process. If they live, they demonstrate no remorse. Okay? Now, here's the toddler. The toddler soul's response to change. Overwhelmed, confused, thrown off balance, disoriented, decompensating, disorganized, stupefied, resistant. When toddlers are faced with change that they are unprepared for, they come apart. Their careful, civilized demeanor fragments, and they either become insane, unbalanced, and confused, or they react with belligerence and irrational resistance. This is the response you might see when certain peoples are forced to desegregate, give up their guns, or those traditional religious beliefs are challenged. They are typically the most fundamentalists in their beliefs, and they are also quite noisy in their complaints. Okay? So, toddlers. Wow. Now a child or young soul responds to change. This is how a child. Now, we done talked about the infant. We got the toddler. Now, here's the child, the young soul. They enjoy change, but only with conditions and requirements. For example, the change must be a personal win or must represent a shift to a higher status for them, better conditions, or must have the appearance of upward mobility. At this stage, change tends to be based on external conditions, a change in lifestyle or environment. The current executive branch of the United States government is not advocating innovative change, but looking more to turn back the clock to the good old days of absolute rule and control. They will achieve limited temporary success, but it is really too late for this strategy to work for the long run. Okay? Mature or adolescent souls and how they respond to change. Mature souls actively initiate change and accelerate it. So they start the process going. They activate it. They actively initiate change. They get bored unless there is a great deal of change that might include travel, many different jobs, relationships, growth opportunities, and so on. Sometimes adolescents like change just for its own sake. They begin to value internal changes within their personality, their perspective, attitude, and belief systems. Adolescent, young adult souls are only interested in innovative change, something that represents evolution and not turning back the clock. Now let's look at the old or adult souls and their response to change. Old souls initiate change and accelerate it, but are more interested in personal transformation at the deepest levels. They seek to change their outlook rather than trying to change outside conditions. Old souls are interested in the foundations of change, where its source actually is. And they try to learn how to alter life from intention and desire rather than by external means. They are not interested in outside appearances of change, but rather in the reality of it. For example, an old soul is not interested in a facelift to appear younger. They are more interested in having an outlook that is more filled with vitality, like that of a youthful person. Okay? Now that you have the basic pattern of how different soul ages approach change, you will be able to understand a great many responses to change that you will see in people all around you during the next few years. You will understand new articles that describe massacres, standoffs, belligerence, riots, as well as an opportunism and success stories of how people coped with the big changes in their lives. Now let's introduce you to the seven basic steps to the change process for you to use to promote your own ability to cope with change. All righty. Basic steps to change. One, the fixed pattern is no longer working. Here you recognize that the old way no longer serves the situation. You have maximized your returns and have reached a plateau or a no-growth situation. You may even find that the old method you have been using or your old outlook is actually becoming detrimental to you. An example would be that your old habitual way of approaching your spouse is no longer bringing the love response that it once did. You realize that change is needed, but you need not like the idea. Two, you desire change. Now you see that not only is change needed, but you wish for it and actively seek it out. You investigate the kind of changes that you need or the ones that have come about, and you learn from these observations. You actively seek advice and consultation about what would work. You plan your strategy or create your battle plan for the future. Three, now's the time for you to activate your change plan. You initiate new behavior and a new strategy, even though it feels unfamiliar and uncomfortable, and you aren't quite sure it is going to work for you. This is like following the advice of a consultant or therapist, but you feel insecure about the new approach and do it with some anxiety or trepidation. Four, the change is now in progress. Now you are actively in the midst of the change process and have been trying out new behaviors. You are beginning to align your attitudes and beliefs with the new behaviors in an attempt to justify them. Here you create new habits, patterns, and attitudes that create a whole new context for you. The next step, you want to stretch and expand and grow. As a result of the new approach, you begin to feel a great momentum forward. Results are coming in and everything is beginning to shift rapidly. The experience feels unstable and out of control, and you may feel like you are on a roller coaster. Maybe you would even like to apply the brakes and slow it down a bit so you can get used to it more slowly. Life does not often accommodate this strategy of convenience. Finally, you experience the rewards of change. You have a tendency to grow excited about the benefits resulting from your changes. You are sold on a new approach and tend to become preachy about it, just a little bit preachy. Trying to get others to join your bandwagon, you become a good salesperson for the program you have been following, but watch out. You could become sloppy with your own program and experience setbacks. And finally, you master this change and become flexible and adaptive. you are experiencing harmony, balance, and flow. You are like a surfer that rides the waves of change, but with fluidity and adaptability. If you rigidify, I like that word. You like that word, rigidify? Ha! If you rigidify, you fall off the surfboard and are in the drink. Okay, mastery requires that you be prepared to change again at a moment's notice. So you cannot necessarily sit back on your laurels. Change tends to beget more change, even in other areas. So once you start changing, folks around you are going to start changing. Once they start changing, your change is in the, has gained the momentum now. So it's like, just go for it, especially if it feels good and it's all positive. It's got to be feeling good. It's got to be positive. So all of the points that Jose made about change apply to both you as an individual and organizations of every size. On the organizational level, change requires the cooperation of a great many individuals who make up the membership. To the extent that individuals cannot cope with the changes of the overall structure, they either cannot come along or will hold that community back. Since baby souls are the ones most resistant to change, they are the ones who rigidify and calcify in place. They just stop all everything. They are the ones most prone to losing their jobs in the corporate world, since they are the ones who make up most of the everyday staff of government employment. The government bureaucracy is least likely to make any changes in a timely fashion and may fall seriously behind what is happening in the world of ideas, the arts, business, science, education, spiritual expansion, and society at large. This will mean several things. The stress on government will mount to the breaking point, and baby souls will be the ones to suffer the most from the massive changes beginning to occur now. Despite promises to the contrary by elected officials seeking their votes, they will constitute a large jobless group who may end up at the lowest level of poverty and social status. They will also be the ones most vulnerable to the many opportunistic diseases that thrive in poor and squalid conditions. Now, older souls will be required to make sure that the changes don't just benefit the young souls of society. They will have to have a heavy, load as they play the mediators attempting to bring along the baby souls, as well as getting the young souls to reach out and include everyone on the playing field. You know, like we might think about like this medical coverage thing going on here. You know, I mean, there are those that just, they really don't give a kitty. You know, so there are going to be some of us that are going to have to say, well, look, like this one guy is doing, he got a petition going, it's all over the internet, it's on change.com. What he is saying, sign this petition. We got to get Congress to understand that if they want to dictate what our medical is, then they need to endorse the fact that they're going to live under the same medical guidelines. Now, I agree with that, because if we pay taxes for our congressional people to have their medical coverage, and they're using our money to fund their medical and their paychecks and their medical, then who are they to say that we can have substandard medical because they don't have enough tax money to pay for our medical? And that does not make sense to me. It has never computed in my own brain, okay? And people need to think about that. Not enough tax dollars to pay for universal health care, but we're paying for their health care, so then they should be a part of that universal health care. Now, global change. Jose already has discussed the dramatic scale of events that you could expect during these times. You have been able to witness for yourselves intensely emotionally charged international events such as the war in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, the struggles in Sudan, the Middle East, Pakistan, Israeli-Pakistan conflict, the North Korean nuclear ambitions, the migrations of refugees, deportations, and closed doors for immigration, and on and on and on and on. Likewise, you have seen deeply emotional domestic issues such as abortion rights, civil rights, Black Lives Matter, climate change, and the evisceration of, oh, I love that word, evisceration, of, I don't like what the word means, but I love to say the word, evisceration of our environmental protections erupt onto the public arena. Without question, massive change is occurring on a personal, regional, and global scale at an extremely rapid and spontaneous pace. This is a time of massive destabilization and chaos. This is the kind of change that you can expect to continue to occur during these next dynamic years. Those parts of the world reflecting the most extreme states of imbalance are the ones that are or will be massively change first. Then change will begin to occur in those places where there is slightly more integrity. Dramatic changes in your own political, social, and economic structures are imminent. These changes are already beginning to occur at the fundamental foundation level. It has always happened in times of overwhelming change. There are those who wish to deny that fundamental change is taking place. Now, baby souls tend to use denial as a defense mechanism and deliberately attempt to roll back the clock to earlier times when black and white news taboos spelled out the do's and the don'ts of living. Under the inspiration of highly vocal, exalted roles who invoke a punitive male god as their authority, they desperately and obediently attempt to preserve a bygone world. This behavior comes from fear, you know, false evidence appearing real, fear of the unknown, of course, and can only be ameliorated through benevolent and wise yet firm guidance and leadership from older, more experienced souls. Some young souls embrace the changes, seeing opportunity to rise to leadership and profit from the chaos. Others who are currently in power deliberately use cover-up techniques to continue the status quo. They say, don't worry, everything is under control. There is no problem. Vote for me and let me run things for you. This behavior is based on ambition. Ambition is often based on the conviction that life is accidental and there is no life after death. Mature souls tend to deal with the change in many ways. Some are doomsayers saying, I told you so. Now there will be hell to pay and there is no way out. Others emotionally charge into demonstrations and efforts to reform structures while there is still hope. Others seek guidance to cope with the overwhelm that they feel. Old souls, to the extent that they are free of their imprinting, largely seek guidance from within and attempt to stay clear of the chaos. In general, mature old souls know that change or changes are inevitable and seek to bring them about in as bloodless a fashion as possible. Overall, to the extent that people resist the changes, the process will be more painful and dramatic. to the extent that people see through the fears of the different levels of society and the machinations that follow, the changes will be more manageable. The adage that when the people lead, the leaders follow, has truth. The question is, which people? That is for us to decide. Now, personal change. As many of you have noticed, changes in your own lives have been occurring faster than you can logically understand them. In fact, there is often no way that you can anticipate them. You will notice that one change leads to another and then to another until suddenly it's as if an avalanche has taken place in your life and everything looks different. If you're experiencing this, you are truly a person of your times because that is the nature of the times in which you live. Again, if you are in resistance to change, you will tend to suffer. Why? Because resistance is based on fear, false evidence appearing real. And fear is what feeds your fear patterns. Remember, self-destruction, self-greed, self-deprecation, that's arrogance, martyrdom, that's impatience, and stubbornness. All right? Your fear pattern or obstacle is what shifts you into the negative poles of your personality traits. When you and everyone around you is being run by fear patterns, your world becomes unpleasant indeed. So when change accelerates, stress accelerates. And when stress accelerates, the fear patterns take advantage because fear is their food. Therefore, you have an excellent opportunity to see what runs you in times of change. You can see your fears blatantly for what they are. You can also choose to override them. Even though fears often anticipate the future, they always indicate that you are running off of a past time information. Your fears are always based on something that you instinctively feel centered on. Your best ally, then, in rapidly changing times, is your ability to stay as present as possible and enjoy the ride as you might on a roller coaster. You may still be afraid, but it does not have to interfere with the choices that you make. There are many tried and true ways to help you stay present. For example, do simple meditation. We always suggest that. Meditation that helps you to still your mind, even if only for 10 minutes. Pay attention to your body and find out what it wants. Okay? Your senses are always in the present moment and can help you stay at home in your body. Keeping your chakras clear and balance helps you stay pain-free and therefore more inclined to be present. How about seeing from the heart and seeing beauty in very important ways or the beauty that's in process? Look outside your window. Telling the truth frees up energy, allowing you to be more present. Emotional clearing of childhood or past pain with or without guidance can help you be more adaptable and spontaneous. Jose has many upcoming articles about change as the pace continues to accelerate. Be assured that in maybe 10 years, hopefully I'm still here in 10 years, you will not recognize the world as you know it today. That should be obvious. The question is, will you recognize yourself? You have a major say so in what you will be like and how you will cope. That future you is being decided today, right now, by you. It is your decision now, right now, this minute, whether you make room for the power of essence to direct your life or for a fear-based false personality to steer your course. And with that, Jose sends many blessings. So, as we come to another close of a show, I pray you got a little bit out of that. The more I understand it and visit with it and say it over and over in my mind, the more I try to put it in perspective in my own life, because change is evident. Things are going to change. And they may not always look like the change is good, but like we always hear, nothing happens by chance. And it's all good. We just don't know it's good because it doesn't look good to us. But things could be different. They could be worse. And that's a fact. And so with that, I want to say I love you all. It was good to see all of you on my board. We got a Mother's Day coming up next week. So I'm going to say in advance, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And I'm going to say after the fact, Happy Cinco de Mayo to all of those who celebrated it Friday. And I'm looking forward to a nice warm summer, although things are taking their time warming up. But we do need the water. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. I'm going to say stay blessed. I'm going to go and get myself some water. Thank you so much for being here. Love you. Stay blessed. Peace. And all of you out. This is Dutch shining out. Bye-bye.